All right, welcome everyone to our Commissioner's Court today. Thank you for being here. At this time, we're going to open with our invocation. Commissioner Gray, if you would introduce the individual who's going to do our invocation, if you'd follow up then with the pledges.
Yes, sir. I'd like to introduce Pastor Andy Hunt of New Caney Family Worship, a lifelong friend and a great mentor in the community.
All right, let's all stand together.
Thank you, Judge, and our commissioners for this privilege. Let us bow our heads together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this new day and this new moment that we have to conduct business for our county and its citizens. As we gather here this morning, we ask that you guide our leadership and all their decision-making and lead them through the process of the oversight of our great county. Lord, help us to make wise and prudent decisions that best serve those we serve. And may we walk and lead according to your will. As we lead, God, teach us to always consider others before we do ourselves. Let us live by your golden rule in Scripture, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I would like to also pray a special blessing upon all the members of this commissioner's court. Bless each of them with godly wisdom to make the right decisions, even when it might be hard to do so. God, allow them to disagree agreeably, giving us unity among our members that might prove to serve for the greater good in our community. Teach us always to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Bless each of them and their families. Bless them abundantly. As your word says, bless them coming in and bless them going out. And Lord, may your wonderful blessing chase them down and overtake them. Continue to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Lord, according to your word, I know you have plans to prosper each of them and give them a hope and a future. Lord, we pray your protecting hand also upon every one of our first responders in our community and bless them. God, we are so grateful for your mercies. They are from everlasting to everlasting. Guide us, teach us, lead us, speak to us, and help us here today. Oh, and God, I have a PS to this prayer. Please lead these great leaders to fix my potholes, dig my ditches, and lower my taxes all in the same day. We ask this prayer in Jesus' most precious name, amen. And can I hear a big amen?
Amen. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate that so much. So much.
Bishop, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present today. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
Second. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this time, we give our citizens an opportunity to come and make comment on an item that would be on our agenda. If there's a general comment you'd like to make, at the end we will have the opportunity for you to do that. But this is a time for items on our agenda. Please understand that we will give you 3 minutes. At the end of 3 minutes, you will hear the timer, and we're going to ask you to stop. Also, if you would name the item on the agenda, state your name for the record. All right? Is there anyone who would like to come forward and who would like to share? All right. If there are no citizen comments, then let's move forward. Proclamations, resolution. Oh, okay. Come forward. State your name for the record and the item, please.
Be bid 23-15.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Edward Conche, Jr. with Stripes and Stops Company. We're a small company based in Houston that provides services for municipalities and counties alike in our region, including Montgomery County. We have striped helipads, parking lots, the toll road, and countless roadways in the Montgomery County area. Our services include not only the striping, but also traffic control and signage. We have serviced Montgomery County for the past 5 years successfully and have become very well acquainted with the directors and staff in each precinct, as they have learned our means and methods as well. We are presenting today due to a slight and unfortunate technicality with the communication between our administrative teams. Apparently, Stripes and Stops did not receive the bid opportunity in time to make its submission to Montgomery County. How this mishap came about is irrelevant at this time. However, the absent submission of the bid for Project 23-15 is why I stand before you today. We're requesting from the court an extension so that we may submit our bid to the county for review and continue our professional relationship as well as the streamlined operations with Montgomery County and each individual precinct. We appreciate your time and consideration for this extension for bid 23-15 and look forward to serving the county for many years to come.
Thank you for sharing with us. We appreciate it so much.
Under 22G. 22G.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. All right. Are there any other citizen comments? If there are none, then let's move forward in our agenda. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. A presentation of Employee of the Month.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioner. I am Ken Washington, Recognition Coordinator for the Montgomery County Employee Committee. We come before you today to present a plaque for Employee of the Month for April and a gift certificate from Dragon Bowl C Noodle Bar in downtown Conroe. There were 6 Employee of the Month nominations submitted for consideration. All the nominations are well-deserved for an award, but there is one employee we would like to recognize this month. Can we have Judge Wayne Mack with JP1 to come forward to present this award?
Thank you, and we appreciate the opportunity to do this. We're thankful to the employee committee and all that they do for our county employees. And like every elected official here, we're blessed to work with the very best. We have our names on the doors and buildings and so forth, but it's our people that do the work. And I'm blessed today to have just about every one of our staff here today in recognition of this individual. Only 2 people in my office actually know who's getting it, so the rest of them are like, why are we here? And so we appreciate what every one of my staff does on a daily basis. Justice courts, as you know, are the highest volume courts in Texas. We see thousands of people, and generally nobody coming to our office is happy to be there. Occasionally somebody's getting married, they might be happy to be there, but that's the exception to the rule.
Sometimes.
This person has a distinguished career working for the county for almost 10 years, and she is very well-respected in our office. She not only is she a master of her craft, she's one of the few justice court clerks in the county that has both certificates for civil and for criminal. She always goes above and beyond. She's an inspiration to everybody, and she really enjoys what she does. But in addition to doing her job, when we started our chaplaincy program, she was one of our staff that stepped up in a large way to help us recruit chaplains to be a part of our chaplaincy program, which has been very successful over the years, and being there for families when they get the worst news of their life. On call, we have 3 to 4 chaplains on call 24/7. And then 4 years ago, this month, we launched a behavioral health suicide task force. And I asked this person to step up and help me be able to navigate that. And now we have 12 working work groups, over 250 volunteers. I've been told often that in our county, it's one of the few that is so diverse and has so many people involved, and could not do all that work without this individual. And then also, in addition to that, she's very involved in the Montgomery County Historical Society and preserving our history of our county, and is very involved with Larry Foster, who couldn't be here today. Dr. Brenda LaVar, who with WellPath is very involved with NAMI, and our task force also wrote a letter on behalf of this person. And I'm going to be in so much trouble right now. I can see her face in the reflection of the screen right here. But we're honored to have her husband and her sons here. And she doesn't know this. Her mom snuck in the back door. Her mom is also here as well. And so I'd like Missy Ringo to come forward. And we honor you, Missy.
Thank you.
place and has been taken. And we appreciate you so very much and all that you do. You're such a blessing. Thank you, Judge. Let's look at them. I'd like your family to come forward, please.
They tricked me.
Hey, B.
I'm in here. Come on in.
That's my baby.
All right, people, the family be seated. And I'd like all my staff to come up here because we're such a great team, and everyone here is in support of Missy getting this acknowledgement, and we're just so blessed to do this. And again, thank you to the employee committee. Commissioners, thank you for supporting justice courts and all that we do. We couldn't do it, obviously, without you. The only one that couldn't be here is our bailiff, because he's letting people in our courtroom right now. Thank you, Commissioner.
Great job.
Appreciate y'all so very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you all. Appreciate it so much. All right, the next item on our agenda is consider and approve resolution order regarding the acceptance of donated books. As you recall, in our last commissioner's court, Michelle Nichols came forward and was thanking our librarian, Rhea, for putting certain books into the library, mentioned that there was a cost to it. He also recognized as we put these good, nourishing, positive books into the library, our district attorney, Brett Ligon, came forward. He jumped up out of his chair, came up to the front, and he said, I would like to donate to that. Since that time, what we have done is, and we wanted to memorialize this, as we're required to, since we are acceptance of resources from Brett Ligon, also from BD.
Judge, I didn't want to, it's hard for you to brag.
Please, go ahead.
It's hard for you to brag when you're in the position that you're in. But there were several people of the community that came forward and said, hey, I want to help in that effort. We met Brave Books. The books are illustrated wonderfully. They're great stories. They're good readers. BD actually came up first. I know that Commissioner Gray had offered help. Judge, and you actually joined in the effort as well in buying the books. And so all the county libraries in the community now have it. And one of the things that BD and I recognized is, you know, it's a cliche, but readers are leaders. And we decided to take a position of inclusivity and putting good materials into the county library versus going through the fight of, okay, what's appropriate, what should be sequestered or whatever, and try to go to the light instead of fighting in the dark all the time. So, BD, I want to thank you for standing up immediately, Commissioner Gray for the offer, and Judge, thank you for joining the effort as well. So, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you so much, Brad. I appreciate that. Do we have a motion to approve the resolution?
Move.
All in favor? Opposed?
Judge, I can't help but think that you must think that I don't say enough in court with the Unmuzzle Me Please book in front of me. Be a hint, I need to say more.
When Kimberly was putting these out, I said, make sure you put this in the appropriate place. I'm just kidding, but thank you.
Judge, I asked for pop-up books.
But again, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And thank you, our District Attorney Brett Ligon, for taking the lead on that. All right, let's move forward. National Crime Victim Rights.
We need to vote on that.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Brett, if you'd come up as we talk about National Crime Victims Rights Week.
I get to two good things. First off, it is the National Crime Victims Rights Week. But unexpectedly, I would like the community to recognize the VACs, the Victim Assistance Coordinators. We have them from the District Attorney's Office here today. Ladies, if you would, please stand up. I've got two new friends at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department. It's Zach and Bethany. Y'all stand up. They're the VACs for the SO. and two of my favorite former employees from the county attorney's office, Danielle and Mark. Danielle is the back for the county attorney as well, so if they would stand up. So these people are making sure that victims are served within our community. It's only a week of formal recognition for us. This is our lifestyle. This is what we do. The Children's Safe Harbor, I know Dr. Constance is here, and probably some of her staff as well. Where's Victoria? Thank you. Okay, ladies, if you would, Children's Safe Harbor. This morning, Dr. Constance and her crew, several people from Precinct 3 from the DA's office, put 2,303 pinwheels down at Precinct 3. That represents every child at Children's Safe Harbor provided services to this year. It's a tremendous number in the sense that it's the amount of resources that Montgomery County has. On the other hand, it's a scary number, right? I'd like to have zero pinwheels around for the rest of Montgomery County. Unfortunately, it's just not a number that's going to happen. So, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I will read the proclamation. There's a call upon communities to amplify the voice of survivors and create environments where survivors have the confidence they will be heard, believed, and supported. Whereas crime victim rights acts passed here in Texas and at the federal level guarantee victims the right to meaningfully participate in the criminal justice process, including the elevating the voices of survivors, makes certain they are heard and seen, and creates a path to forging and sustaining community trust. Whereas survivors' lived experience can serve as a catalyst for implementing innovative programs, shifting existing programs in new directions, and changing policies or practices that prevent survivors from accessing services or pursuing justice. And whereas National Crime Victims' Rights Week provides an opportunity to recommit to listening to crime survivors in every space where decisions are made that could impact them, and I would ask the court for its indulgence to interlineate here. It says it's the district attorney's office is hereby dedicated. I would like the court to recognize that Montgomery County, the county as a whole, is dedicated to helping crime survivors find their justice by enforcing victims' rights, expanding access to services, and ensuring equity and inclusion for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that so much, and for all of you who are here with us today, we have a motion to approve this National Crime Victims' Rights
second.
Week. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Proclamation.
Judge, real quick, I would get in trouble by some of my staff if I didn't point out that that was passed by Congressman Ted Poe in 2010. And one of my staff, Kim, she worked for the congressman, so I have been hearing about this, and she is so excited about this coming forth. So thank you, Brett, on that. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it. All right. Also, we have a proclamation for 2023 Soil and Water Stewardship Week. And April 30th, 23 to May 7th, 2023. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The court will consider, discuss, and in its discretion take action on the following items. Concerning under item number 10 is county judge. And the first is consider and approve resolution order regarding signature authority for approved agenda items. Currently in our consent agenda, we have a resolution and order that has me being the one, unless there's a signatory, be the one who signs all the information. When we go to an open agenda, what we do is we always will name a person who's going to sign. This is cleanup, allowing me to go ahead and be the one who signs, continue to sign, unless there is a signatory that is mentioned.
Move.
Is there a motion? We have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Second, consider and approve adoption of an order with respect to Waste Management Inc. project and authorizing the county judge to execute certificates approving the order in a public hearing. This is the landfill project over in Precinct 4, refinancing through the sale of taxable bonds. So we have a motion to approve. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, let's move on in our discussion here. Consider and approve user agreement between Montgomery County and the Big Guy LLC, authorizing County Judge Mark Keogh to execute the agreement. What this is there is a local film company that's making a documentary, and they wanted to use our county jail. They asked the sheriff, of which he said, yeah, I would love to, but I can't. That would violate our statutes. We can't do that. And so we said, hey, what if we could do it over at the jail that is above, over in the
courthouse?
Over in the courthouse. And this would be a film production company. It's a documentary. I'm not even sure. It's about jails in Texas. Y'all know who this is with, Dinesh D'Souza. We've agreed to do something if we will. You guys will approve it.
Who's Sheriff, the big guy?
That's him.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Biden,
LLC.
Is it?
I'm sorry.
Ain't Biden, is it?
No.
The big guy?
No.
I think that's what he calls himself, right?
Yeah. Sheriff, why don't you come? Can you tell us a little bit about this? I know you don't want to be involved in this, but I need your help here. Because he approached you.
What? What's that?
Got nothing to do with Biden.
Well, I think he's the big guy on some of this stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, he is.
Well, our big guy is not that guy. It's a local film producer in the Woodlands who's done a lot of documentaries, and he's reached out. It's mostly a quiet project. County attorney's familiar with the project, so I don't really want to talk too much about it. But it's, like the judge said, he wanted to use the real jail. And that just wasn't going to work. So the district attorney and I and the county attorney, we cut it up and came up with an idea where we could use the old jail. And it's actually an ideal location for filming. It's not used at all. There's really no purpose for it other than the Historical Commission giving tours there. So we're able to use it without any disruption of a facility. It's a use contract, so they will be paying a daily rate. The county attorney has come up with a daily rate for usage. Shouldn't interfere with operations at all. So.
That's great. When I read this, I had no idea who the big guy was, as
yeah.
Commissioner Riley mentioned, and then exactly what they were looking to do. Has with the county attorney's office?
We didn't come up with a rate, by the way. We worked with purchasing to figure out a rate, just so that if you guys are so inclined, you can approve this use agreement for them to do this filming.
And what is the rate? They're going to pay $500?
$500.
$500 to rent the facility?
For a day.
It's the old jail.
Do they have, do we have some sort of a hold harmless agreement or something signed by them?
Yes. So it is a full use agreement, just like you would have any other county property use.
Yep. Yeah, insurance, W-9, everything's on file. County attorney's office has made sure we're all in the good.
Good to go.
Sounds good.
All right. We have a motion to approve.
Move.
Sure, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Listen, I'd like to go back, if I may, in the agenda back to the county clerk. I skipped over 9A by accident. Consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session April 11, 2023. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Sir, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Budget.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I have several items for discussion this morning. First one, I'll go through my regular agenda items. 11A, memorialize previous action on Commissioner Court actions taken on changes to the fiscal year 2023 budget for the following departments: Constable Precinct 4, Sheriff's Office, Animal Services, Justice Court Technology, Capital Projects, Commissioners, and DA Forfeiture. These are just routine items that we do after you guys have voted on an item. We bring back a BMF, a budget modification form, for Commissioner's Court approval.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
11B, consider approving authorized transfers and adjustments for the fiscal year 2023 budget according to budget policy. These are just everyday changes that we bring to you guys. These normally are going to be departments that are moving money within outside of their own departments, or it's commissioner or sheriff's office budgets where they're moving between like parks and community centers or parks and commissioner's offices. Most of these are related to Commissioner Charlie Riley's.
So this is according to the 23 budget, but the action that we're going to take later on the budget policy will be for the fiscal year 24.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We have a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 3.
11C, consider approving authorized transfers, adjustments, and amendments for special revenue departments and general fund departments for fiscal year 2023. Most of these are going to be revenue recognition, meaning that we're recognizing the revenue that the departments have accrued, and then authorizing an expenditure budget related to those.
All right. We have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item D.
And this one's consider approve and authorize transfers, adjustments, and amendments for grant departments for fiscal year 2023. These ones are mostly going to be related to ARPA.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's move forward.
Okay. Next one I have, I'm going to go ahead and kick off the FY 2024 budget. I'm going to have something to pass out real quick. All right, we're here at my favorite time of the year, the budget time, where we get to go through and take, you know, departments request and put them all together and present you guys an overall great budget that benefits not only our taxpayers, but pretty much everyone that does business in the county and anyone that pays taxes as well. So for the FY 2024 kickoff, this is the beginning. We do expect to go full force. We'll have a budget adoption scheduled for August 30th. I'm going to start with the budget office staff. This is us, the budget team. There's four of us that make up this team. Me as the budget officer, Sarah as my senior analyst, Wendy as my personnel analyst, and Christopher as my operations analyst. We could be reached by our individual email addresses, but if anybody in the county wants to reach out to us, they can also use the budget employees at mctx.org, and that gets all four of us at the same time. So any budget questions that departments have, they can always reach out to us. The key responsibilities of the budget office. Our mission is to manage resources efficiently, effectively, and equitably. We like to communicate the court's vision to other departments and elected officials, research and compile data from other entities, including citizen participation and any requirements by statute. We also assist departments in their financial reporting for their departments. Okay, for the state of the county, this is kind of where I like to give an overall briefing of, you know, where we are at right now in the county. Currently for FY 23, we've collected 97.7% of our FY 2023 general fund tax revenues, with 6 months being left of the fiscal year. So we still have a little ways to go, but we're very close to having a full 100% collected.
Where are we normally at this time?
Yeah, so last year we were at 96.8, so we're pretty close to where we were, actually a little bit above where we were last year.
Tammy didn't take off last week.
For population in Montgomery County, of course, you know, we're seeing huge growth numbers here. The U.S. Census estimates from July 1st, 2021 to July 2022 that our population increased 4.3%. That's very significant, and since I've been here, that's kind of been the trend. We've continued to see considerable growth. 13.6% of our population is over 65 years of age versus the national average of 16.5. I think that's pretty important why we did some of the over 65 things that we've done within the county, hitting that population. I think this is a great number personally. This is the labor force. Just from February 2022 to February 2023, we also saw our labor force grow from 300,000 to 309,000. That's workers that are hitting our local economies, which I think, you know, ultimately makes a growing community even better when you have those people that are, you know, giving back to the community as well. Inflation, this is a pretty big number. So if you remember last year when I presented these numbers, the inflation numbers were off the charts. They were just so incredibly high. We're still seeing high inflation numbers. But just to kind of give you guys an idea, when I got here in 2018, we had a budget of $246.1 million in the general fund. That budget, the same budget today, without any changes in services, without any changes in population growth, none of that would now be $294 million. That's the buying power of our dollar today versus what it was in 2018. So, again, the buying power for $100 back then is now $119.57 today. So everything is costing more, and we really know that. The biggest increase that we see on the inflation side, of course, doesn't affect the county as much, but it does affect our employees, is that food. The food CPI increased 11.1%, and most of that being contributed by fruits and vegetables. Kind of ironic. energy decreased 6.7. If you guys remember, at this point last year, we had seen fuel prices that were extremely high. Since February 2022, we have seen a decrease in fuel from from 4.3%. Overall, all of the energy, especially our electric, has decreased a little bit. So we may see some savings in some of our non-departmental. All other items besides food and energy, we should have increased 5.4%. Again, that's according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. The housing market, I thought this was a good idea, a good indicator of where we are. The median listing price for a house in Montgomery County in March of 2021 was $338,000. If you remember the peak last year, in March of 2022, that median house sales price was $401,000. And then now we're back down to about $359,000, meaning that I believe the economy is starting to level off a little bit on that housing, on the housing side.
You might want to send that to MCAT because they're still stuck in 2022.
Yes.
Yeah, good point.
I agree.
There's something, you know, something else about that. This time last year, I just did this for the State of the County address, the house would sell within 22 days.
Yes.
Now it is selling in 60 days.
And actually, Judge, when we looked at the FRED is one of the indicators we use. We saw that last year, some of the point to sell actually was even sometimes in the negative because they were being sold even before they went on the market.
That's right.
And so now we're not seeing that as much anymore either. Houses staying on the market a little bit longer. So I just think that this is also something to consider in the future. I think with, you know, anything. Specifically with Rebecca's department, a lot of these people that maybe got their mortgages in 2022 when the housing market was pretty high might be something that we need have to consider down the road 5 or 6 years if there is a market crisis where especially in the housing market. The next type is the budgeting types that we do. Most of our departments, of course, are going to do the department entry based off of their FY 2022. And 2023 budgets, but the sheriff's office, the airport, non-departmental, all of our salary and all of our benefits, those are all zero-based budgeted, including our capital outlay. If you guys recall, every year since I've been here, I ask the departments to take two or three, four accounts and zero-base those accounts, meaning start from scratch, build those budgets up. This year we've picked IT software, IT hardware, mobile phone, and data. And by mobile phone and data, because that line includes both phones and hotspots, I'm just asking departments to break that up so we know those differences, and then janitorial supplies. So those will be the FY 2024 zero-based accounts that we're asking departments to do. We'll show them again how to use that and how to do that in the software. The other accounts, their department entered, and then, like I said, they're trend analyzed. All right, you guys pretty much know the budget process. You know, you guys are going to vote on the calendar today. We'll do our training, the next couple of weeks, then we'll have some departmental deadlines. So this is just given a graph, and we send this budget PowerPoint also to all of our departments so that they know you have a copy of the slide in your, but it basically tells you, you know, in a timeline basis what our process is. All right, the key dates for our budget calendar. Again, I passed out the budget calendar. It's going to look like this. And I have some extras here if any departments are here that would like a hard copy. Basically, the budget packets will be available in the Oracle budgeting software for operational request, capital request, personnel changes, and new position request. We are asking that the PDQs, every position request, have a PDQ associated with it. Those PDQs sent directly to Dodie's office, Dodie and Kathy.
Not in Oracle this year.
Not in Oracle. Nope. We're going to have those straight sent to HR. That way, it's a better efficiency in their office as well. The training classes, we're going to have the first week of May 2023, and then we'll have the live packets available by May 1st, 2023. We're working on those, getting with our consultants to finish up some stuff. So we'll have all of this information out there to everybody. Departmental meetings, as you guys know, I do one-on-one meetings with any department that wants to meet with me to go over their 2023-2024 budgets. For this year, we're doing those meetings May 2nd to May 31st, so basically the whole month of May. If departments aren't available in that, they can let me know. We can coordinate something outside of those times as well. The Oracle budget sheets and Excel sheets are due to the budget office June 22nd, 2023. Again, for departments, budgets due to our office June 22nd, 2023, which is a little bit later than we've all ever had. We're seeing some efficiencies in the Oracle software, so we think it's going to work out pretty good.
Amanda, the court after June 22nd, will you bring us a list of every department and elected official that did not turn their packet to you in on time?
Yes.
Make sure that we note that.
Departmental preliminary budgets are sent out July 14, 2023 and July 17, 2023. We always like to try to get those bigger budgets out first and then the smaller ones out later. The preliminary budgets will be distributed to Commissioner's Court July 21st, 2023. That's the Friday of a court packet, so you guys will get that as part of your court packet. And then I will do your first presentation of the preliminary budget on that Commissioner's Court meeting on July 25th. Our budget workshop now is not going to be that same week. We've pushed it back a couple of weeks. So August 8th through August 11th, we will have our budget workshop, starting with, of course, CIP workshop. It is a regular scheduled Commissioner's Court on August 8th. So we'll start probably directly after Commissioner's Court. We'll have the proposed budget filed with the county, with the Commissioner's Court, the county auditor, and the county clerk August 21st, 2023. And then we'll have our public hearing on the budget and tax rate August 30th. And then after the public hearings, that's when we normally vote on the adoption of the budget. We are asking if there's any citizens that have any inputs. There's a couple of opportunities for those inputs. They can always email me and give me some of their feedback if they have any. In-person meetings on July 25th, August 30th, and if any departments are having Citizens Academy, again, I'll invite me to those and I'll come and represent the budget office and answer any questions. And of course, they can call our budget line and we can answer any questions that way. This is really important to me. I take this really seriously. If any citizen wants to meet with me, whether it's for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, I will meet with any citizen. Okay, and that's make sure that you tell your constituents that anybody that wants to meet with me regarding the budget, I'm interested in doing that. Do you guys have any questions specifically on my presentation?
You know, in getting that information out to the public, and one of the questions that was asked in the last election cycle was, how come nobody knows about the budget? To which I responded, well, you know, we announce it, we have it on our website, the hearings where people can come and talk about it, but they still don't get it. What is the process for putting that out there? It's in the newspaper, it's in a number of places.
We put it on the webpage, we put it on the newspapers. It's filed with the county clerk, so the budget is open for public inspection, a physical copy, not just an electronic copy. Sorry about the mic. We have thought about doing some, you know, like a little snapshot videos. Tammy, as part of her, when she sends out tax statements, also sends a budget highlights page out. If you guys want, we can provide any information to help with videos or whatever that you guys might want to put out, press release, anything like that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So the next thing I have is the budget policy, which I did make some minor significant changes. I don't know. They're significant in my piece, but for the regular departments, not necessarily so. Did everyone get a copy of the budget policy? I put it as part of the backup. If you don't have one, I have a copy here for you guys. But just some things that we're going to, just some basics. Does anybody first have any questions regarding the new changes that are made on the policy?
What are the most significant ones that you've made changes on?
Okay. So the most significant changes we made were the first one saying that we did designate that fund balance requirement into the policy. I'm stating that the fund balance requirement is 19%. So that is inside the policy itself. The policy is a living document, meaning that it doesn't have an expiration date anymore. We're having it continue to go until you guys want to make any changes or want to add anything to it or deletions, whatever it is.
Okay.
We do have that all departments, the maximum for them to transfer out of their budgets to another department is $3,000, with the exception of IT and building maintenance if there's specific projects related to that.
What is their limit?
There is no limit.
Why don't we just have that come to court? I don't think any of the departments should be transferring money between themselves without court approval, period.
Well, okay, so you have Adobe licenses. That's the number one thing that we do all the time. It's a $93 license and we're transferring those. I think we're doing them weekly.
I mean, maybe you can have some, but in general, I don't want animal shelter, no picking on them, they just came to mind because they start with an A, you know, moving $3,000 to the airport, for example.
We don't have that.
then why have a policy that allows for it?
I mean, because the policy still limits that, right? And you also have the limitations of the fact that they can't do that, right?
What is it currently now?
3,000. There's no change on that. The change was in the Road and Bridge Fund, where we moved it up to 10,000.
Proceed.
But I mean, Commissioner, like, you're voting on the policy today. We can make any changes.
I'm just saying I don't know that the departments should be moving money between themselves. Elected officials kind of different, but, you know, the departments themselves, that's what the purpose of the court is for. We set their budget. We determine how their money's spent.
So we had a situation over right before the new a new judge took office, that 25% rule limited that department, and they needed to pay a bill that they had, and so they reached out to one of their other judges, and they were able to transfer that money out of their budget to cover that. That's the most recent. It wasn't even close to $3,000. I think it was even maybe $250.
An elected official a little bit different than a department head.
Oh, but even
I just
so.
Think the department heads we should limit to court action and elected officials not.
We're going to be voting on all changes in Adobe policies and all that. I mean, we've been doing, Commissioner, with all due respect, we've been doing it. It's been working. It's not abused.
We bring them back. Every single change that we do that is moving money from out of a department's budget into another department, we memorialize that effect. And on the other side of that, you can always reverse it, Commissioner. So if we posted it and you didn't like it, you could always say, hey, actually, I don't like this. We bring them to Commissioner's Court anyways. For memorialization, you could say, you know what, I want to reverse this, and we can do that.
And how much we raise in the commissioners?
$10,000.
From?
$3,000. And that's to cover, because most of you guys have operations deputies, and that just helps us keep those costs where we're not having to come to Commissioner's Court every single time if we have a change on those.
Okay. Proceed.
Okay. The next one that I have is that TCOL reports are required for any rehire or new hire law enforcement officer. We do have to have a copy of that TCOL report come with a PCR. That just helps us effectuate the step plan. Again, we don't really care who you're hiring, where they come from or whatever, but for us, it helps us effectuate the step plan. We had some issues with this arise where the departments didn't originally send us a TCOL report, then we had to make an adjustment later. So we really would like to avoid that, so we're trying to get all the departments, and we've talked to the Sheriff's Office about this, they're okay with providing those as well.
So without the TCOL, they can't participate in the step plan?
That's right.
Okay, I got you. All right.
The next change is specifically regarding vacancy savings. As you guys know, most of the law enforcement departments have the ability to use their vacancy savings in 2023. The sheriff's budget is getting super tight with that, so there's not really as much vacancy savings as we've seen in the past. So we're asking the court, from here on out, that if a department has something that they're wanting to pay use vacancy savings out of, they come to Commissioner's Court for approval on that, that it's just not automatically granted. And that's just going to, really help us, trend that a little bit better. We have a lot of step increases, and with the bilingual pay and all of these other pays that come in, the forecasting just takes a little bit more than just saying, you have this vacancy money, you can use it. So it's kind of stopping departments from using that vacancy savings in the future.
And that's new, correct?
That's new, yeah. It's updating it, yeah.
All right, updating.
The next one is going to be the Capital Improvement Vehicle and Equipment Replacement Fund. That's setting those requirements, what projects exist that are in that, factors that it takes for the vehicle and equipment replacement fund. We started that in last year's budget, maybe the year before, and so this is just kind of setting out, vehicles that are donated, those aren't eligible for replacement. Vehicles that are bought on grants, those aren't just deemed eligible for replacement. So any of those outside of our normal vehicle equipment replacement policy will come to you guys for a needed funding source for you guys to okay, or just for you guys to okay the funding source.
What about the idea you and Gilbert were going to come back with a vehicle policy replacement plan, and when you get a new vehicle, you have to turn in an old vehicle?
That's in here.
Is it all codified now?
Yeah, that's all in this policy here. If you get a replacement vehicle, by the time for each vehicle that is replaced, the old vehicle equipment should be sent to the purchasing agent for disposition within 45 days of putting the replacement asset into service. And that's really keeping we're replacing vehicles, but we're getting the originals back so that we can put those into the auction, get a little bit of money to offset those expenditures. So yeah, we are asking for department, we're requiring departments, once they get a replacement vehicle within 45 days of putting that vehicle into service, they have to bring the other one back to, you know, for asset disposal, normally done through an abates auction. And again, this is just general fund departments. What you guys do in the road and bridge funds, I know you sometimes that equipment is a little bit different. So, but this is specific for general fund departments.
You know, we're getting a lot more money trading in vehicles than we are putting them into auction.
Yeah, and we talked about that. Gilbert and I did. He's not here today, but what we did talk about that is right now. We are able to do that a little bit easier because of the threshold that Abbott gave us with not having to have things procured. With that going out of place, we are going to have to go back into that. You know, anything over $25,000, I think is going to have to come back to you guys. And so if there's a trade-in that involves that, you guys would have the opportunity to say, hey, look, we're, you know, planning on doing this trade-in. So that is something I talked to Gilbert about. He didn't want me to put that in the policy specifically about trade-in because he was afraid that it might go against the purchasing requirements that he has set.
So if we bring, Amanda, if we order a new truck or a vehicle, and we need an extra vehicle for our, you know, as far as us commissioners, do we still have to, if they were driving a truck, we can't just pass it down, or do we turn that one in also?
Are you talking about for your, not in the general fund, you're the road and bridge fund, so you can really do, because... For me, the equipment that you have, I'm not an expert in that. I'm really trying to, and I'm not an expert in cars by any means, but cars are a little bit easier to replace because they're kind of spec'd kind of all the same for the constables and the sheriff's office. But for yours, I wouldn't even try to...
Because sometimes we give them to the airport or if somebody else, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, I just want to bring that, because I did talk to Commissioner Gray about this and his staff about this. Like, that can be a problem, though. I just want to make sure that... Commissioners know, but giving, you know, transferring assets to another department, I agree that most of the departments, they have some vehicle that, you know, probably needs to be replaced. But when you transfer an asset into that and you fill out a form with purchasing, they don't actually let, there's nothing that involves us to let them know that we need to include vehicle maintenance and fuel the next year for that vehicle. Okay, so keep that in mind. These departments could have overages related to their budgets because of fuel and vehicle maintenance related to any vehicles that got transferred without us kind of knowing about it. So if you are going to do that, just make sure that we get a copy of those asset transfer forms.
And also the funding source for that a lot of times is road and bridge. And you have to be careful about which departments you're transferring it to make sure that it's an appropriate use of those funds, because you took money out of the road and bridge fund to purchase that, and now that asset needs to be somewhat related to the road and bridge function, right?
Well, in my case, we had a tractor that had a arm on it that mows, and it was we replaced it, but the airport could use it occasionally, and it was still a good tractor, and so we transferred it to them, or, you know, instead of turning it back in, I guess, so it could...
And the equipment's a little bit different as well.
Okay.
But this policy is specific to the departments, not to the Road and Bridge Fund.
Correct.
Okay. I've got a question. Has it always been like that, or this is new, so with the VERF, I just worry, is there anything I'm missing? If it's a donated or granted vehicle to law enforcement, that doesn't fall under replacement.
Right.
I can see where that can be a slippery slope. So I just don't want to leave someone shorthanded or overextend the county.
Right. So on grant vehicles specifically, and seizure vehicles as well, and Brett, you can chime in on this if you have any information, but on the seizure vehicles, if you later get rid of that seizure vehicle, that money has to go back into the Chapter 59 account. It has to go back into the seizure account. We can't just pull that money into the general fund. So we are watching anything that's seizure, donations, grants, because normally those funds have to go back to their original funding source. It's required by normally the language in either in the grant or, for this case, Chapter 59 statute says that.
Same thing with donations. A lot of times the donation is for a specific purpose, and we accept it with those conditions, that it be used for the animal shelter, for example, one of the ones you picked on earlier. So if we take a donation for something for the animal shelter, if it ceases to be used for the animal shelter, then we have to return that.
Yeah. So in my opinion, it's just not good policy to to fund those vehicles and those equipments out of your vehicle equipment replacement fund, because A, you want to check the funding source, see where it originally came from. And then it's really up to the court's direct discretion as to, do they want to replace that donation vehicle? Because it's different when someone's donating something to you, but then turns around, for example, Constable 3, or Constable 4, if we replace the three donated vehicles he has right now, that's almost $130,000 on the county budget that we weren't anticipating, right, because we got the vehicles through donation. So it's just a way to look at it. I think we should bring the, my personal opinion is we bring those back to Commissioner's Court. You guys vote on whether or not you want to replace those vehicles.
As a separate item, just the donated vehicles is what you're talking about,
yeah.
Correct?
Has been a problem so far?
I think it's going to be a problem.
I'd like to hear from, and maybe today's not the day, but from, we've got two constables in the House and the sheriff, maybe hear from them if we bring it back or if we're going to keep it on today to get some other input. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree with you.
So the other thing about this policy is, like Amanda said, a living document subject to change amendments, and you can always have an exception on a situational basis. Generally, what we've been doing for years and years and years has worked, and we've addressed one-off situations with individual agenda items for your approval.
I think that's how you leave it. I mean, just bring it back and then
yeah.
hear from the people that are directly affected by it, see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Well, I think, especially on the law enforcement, if they get a new Tahoe, sometimes you can't get all the equipment in 45 days.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking
months.
So, I think this one reads after placed in service, so it would have to be actually with the proper equipment before
yeah.
it's required
okay.
to be returned.
Okay.
It says after it's ready.
Okay.
So, we're not leaving them without a vehicle.
And just for information, Commissioner Riley, like this year, with the vehicles that were allocated out, we are also authorize them, you can go ahead and order equipment. So even though the vehicles aren't in yet, you know how many Tahoes you're getting or cars you're getting. Now you can order whatever equipment is associated with that. We do give them a, you know, there is a specific number we use for those replacement for the equipment, but really it's up to the individual constable or the sheriff on how they spec that out. I'm not going to tell them you need, you know, what kind of partitions you need and all that. But we give them a set amount of money and they for example, they can order. We expect the vehicles right now to be ready in June. And I know at least one department has already ordered equipment for their vehicles.
Great. All on right. the issue regarding vacancy savings,
yes.
One of the things that I know that the sheriff utilizes those dollars for is to pay down comp time, so we're not accumulating it. I think he still needs to be able to have access and ability to do that.
He can still do that. So right now,
explain and talk through how that would
yeah,
work.
Sure. So right now, the formula that we use is budgeted salary minus contract pay. So if they have, you know, for example, some departments use contract labor minus any payout that they might have related to comp pay downs, vacation payouts, vacation or comp time paid payouts, difference in compensation between a new hire incumbent that they know that they're not going to give that person a raise, and any overtime associated with the vacancy. So we take the budget salary minus all of those things, and that's what we consider vacancy savings. So it will not stop the sheriff or any of the constables or any law. We encourage departments to pay down that comp time. Everybody that knows me and that's met with me knows that that's a huge, that's the number one budget item I have. How much comp time do you have on the books? Because I try to bring those numbers down. I don't like liabilities that are going to cost us more in the future. So, yes, any department head or elected official that has a budget available, they could definitely pay down those comp time numbers within the policy that is drafted in front of you guys today.
Salary.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect. That's good. Thanks.
All right. Anything else, Amanda?
I think that's the highlights.
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion?
Well,
proceed.
Do we need to make a motion to take this VERF offline as a separate item? Is that what we said? I thought that's what we said.
We're talking about the vehicle?
Yes.
To vehicles that are donated?
Yes.
Is not part of this?
I thought that's what we said when we were talking.
Oh, we were talking. I didn't know that we came to a conclusion that it was going to be a part of the motion.
Doing that, waiting for law enforcement to come in and give us their opinion on
it? If we can strike this and move on the rest of the policy, I don't know what the...
Do we have to approve this today?
I think.
Do we have to approve this today?
I just setting a budget policy helps departments budget better, in my opinion.
Well, it has a whole calendar for
The calendar is...
Question. Amy, you had mentioned that we'd done it this way, and as these items come up, we'd bring it in as a separate item into court and decide at that time.
So
that's what we've done.
You have a couple of options today. You can approve it as it is. You can approve it with removing the vehicle and equipment replacement fund, or what you can do is also say approve it with a modification that we bring this vehicle and equipment replacement fund back on the next agenda item and have people here who would like to comment on it.
Let's just hear from a constable. We've got two constables and a sheriff. Let's hear. Does anybody have any, do y'all have an opinion on it? Somebody come forward. If we can close it out, let's close it out.
There you go.
So the main thing that I look forward to is to be able to, one of my cars might have 135,000 miles on it. One of them might have 100,000 miles on it, but that don't mean the one with the most miles is the one that needs to be replaced. There's some that just run better than others and stuff like that. Also with us, we've just taken over in the last couple of years with county vehicles. We need replacement vehicles. So I understand all that coming in, but we also need vehicles that are on standby too, in case one goes down, one gets in a wreck or something like that. Currently, I only have two vehicles. So if two of my vehicles go out for maintenance or a crash or anything like that, I'm down to no loaner vehicles for these people. So I'd like to be able to, and there are some specific vehicles like canine vehicles and stuff like that I'd like to be able to keep one for one of the ones that come up for replacement this year is going to be a canine vehicle. Well, we have three canines. They can only use one of those canine vehicles. So if one of their canine vehicles go out, we're down a canine too. So I'd like to kind of roll one of those over to a loaner vehicle. Maybe we can set up some, if you have this many deputies, you need this many loaner vehicles. I don't know how that works or anything, but I know that every once in a while we get to where we have no loaner vehicles. We have two people in a car instead of more cars out on the streets. So,
does that need to be a part of our budget policy, or can we decide that as we go?
I think you guys need to talk. We need to discuss that budget workshop, because those are, and in some of these instances, the vehicles, it might be good to use it for another 6 or 9 months, but in the end, like, the auction value of that vehicle, where it stands, where it needs, when it needs to be replaced, is much better than trying to wait until it completely dies.
Right.
So that's another thought. You know, that's another part of the process. We're getting on Tahoe's anywhere from $10,000 to $18,000 on these older ones. So consider that a new Tahoe's $34,000 to $37,000, and for an older one that has 10+ years on it, we're getting some money for them. So if you keep, you know, at some time extending them where they're worth nothing, then that's something to consider in the future.
But if we can keep a car that's worth $10,000 that already has lights and sirens and everything inside of it,
I agree with
then
and it's
usable. Let him keep it if it's going to make sense.
I want an avenue to be able to come up here and say, listen, I know y'all are going to replace two vehicles, but I'd like to only give one back because I need to keep this one.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you bring it back and talk to us about it and we know ahead of time.
Just as we're growing our fleet, I'm not saying that.
I
have two. I can't sit there.
Yeah. I respectfully disagree. Just because they have a lot of pulled vehicles already, we're growing our pulled vehicle our pulled vehicle requirement.
If he only has two, I'm going to believe him.
Yeah,
I
have two.
Where are all the pulled vehicles?
We can, I can bring you a list of showing, because I've looked at it for every constable, how many deputies they have versus how many vehicles there are. It's definitely, the amount of vehicles they have is more than just two, plus two deputies. I can tell you that.
Make that part of the budget package. And every department, give us a list of every vehicle that they have.
Find out what's going on.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, we just need to be able to get into a vehicle if I have to take somebody out or a crash or anything like that.
Well, it doesn't do us any good to give you deputies and not be able to put them on the street.
And I don't think that's ever happened. Like, let's be clear. We always work very, very closely that we would never allow a deputy to not have a vehicle, Commissioner. That's
I don't think that's what they're saying, Amanda.
I promise you, I'm on the same page as you. The fact is that we just started with our county vehicles in 2019. We don't have as many as some of the other people.
I understand that.
And that's all I'm trying to say is that if I come back, I want an avenue just to be able to come back and ask, hey, I need to keep this vehicle because it's a canine vehicle, it's a little bit different. And this is what we're doing.
Constable Cash?
I agree.
And so this is going to be like the other commissioner court policies, whereas this is kind of the general. When you have these one-off, you always have the ability to come back to you to make the exception. And I think that's what Amanda's asking for. We need to know the commissioner's court desire on just kind of a general level. And then when you have one who only has two vehicles and feels strongly that they need to keep one, they always have the ability to come back and ask for you. Yeah, and that you have that with this policy, just like you have it with any other policy, just like that we have it with the handbook or anything else the commissioner court adopts.
Possible Cash, did you want to say something?
I'm in agreement with Chris. You know, we do our own maintenance too. We don't have a maintenance facility, and we're at the mercy of maintenance facilities that we have to contract with. Sometimes they keep our vehicles for several days, weeks. The same way with the auto when one's in a fleet. I'm 100% agreement with them. We have to have vehicles, spares. They're not drove every day, but they're there when we need them. It's critical to do our law enforcement, what we're doing for the community, to have vehicles on the road. And
thank you.
Sarah?
No, so can we get a subset of a working group? So, for example, they're talking MARC units. I don't even want to get into how many cool cars we have because we have municipal agencies that ask for surveillance vehicles.
Right.
Now, where do you think those surveillance vehicles come from? They usually come from the district attorney's office. And so, because we have cool cars, because our cars are oftentimes seized vehicles, and those vehicles have cool plates. And I don't want to speak a whole lot more than that, but when a municipality reaches out to me and they say, hey, can we borrow a car for X amount of days, X amount of months, I have those cars, and we say, all right, well, tell me what your operation is going on. Let me see if we can do something with it, because they have patrol vehicles. So when you're talking about pooled vehicles, as far as I'm concerned, your pool looks different than my pool, because my pool is cool, and theirs are marked. So we have some operational things that go on, and, of course, I have county vehicles, and I have forfeited vehicles as well, which impact what they can be used for. So maybe a subset of a working group for law enforcement vehicles.
Which is where the bulk of it is what we're talking about here. So, yeah, can we do that? I mean, how do we implement that in this right now, or do we do it later?
I think you and Brett should get together and figure it out and bring it back to us.
Okay. Another issue.
I think Commissioner Nowak has to be on that committee too. If I'm going to be on a committee, he's going to be on a committee too.
Well, we're going to let you guys handle.
Okay,
that.
I'd rather be on a committee with these four. Is that possible?
Yeah.
And Amanda.
All right.
Okay. Here, but again, concerning what Commissioner Gray was talking about, Rowdy's situation, Constable in Precinct 4. He has three donated vehicles that they're absolutely dependent on that are not part of this process. That's the thing where it's going to come up and be an issue, and he's going to need to replace those. But they're donated, and they're not – we've never expended money from the county for them. And I think Commissioner, that's what you were referring to in terms of keeping those out of this?
Well, it was part of it, you know, and that's where I was talking about not overextending and getting on a slippery slope. And, you know, someone takes 10 donated vehicles all of a sudden, they all go bad at one time, and then the county's on the hook for replacing them. There's got to be a meeting.
Right. So there's a couple things. One is the donated vehicles by outside entities are not eligible. And the second is you guys have to accept all donations. And I think that every time we have accept donations, we say, you understand that we'll be responsible for the upkeep or maintenance. And sometimes the donating party agrees to do that, and sometimes they don't. And so whenever you accept a donation to the county, it comes with the obligation for maintenance and upkeep of that vehicle.
Well, I think bigger than that is you make that agreement whenever you accept the donation. So we need to know what we're going to do with it when we accept it. But I'll also liken it to the contract vehicles. So we have a whole bunch of those through multiple law enforcement contracts. They buy the vehicles on a reimbursement program, and those contracts usually dictate where that money goes. If we were to trade it in or if we were to auction it off, that money is usually earmarked to go back into the purchase of a vehicle, you know, that may be by the contracting entity that buys the rest of it, or it could be the county. I don't think there's anything that has stopped us from doing that in the past. But
can we work the issue then of donations and how we process that and do that into the policy that y'all come up with in relationship to these pool vehicles?
I think Brett would probably nail that given the opportunity.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. He was shaking his head, yes, I'll do that.
Once something's donated to the county, it becomes county property.
Correct.
Is that right?
We've been down that road.
So yes, once something is donated, provided that it's not donated with restrictions. So sometimes, and it isn't generally law enforcement with restrictions. Typically, when they give things to law enforcement, it is for any and all purposes that law enforcement wants to do it. On some of your other county vehicles, for example, animal shelter, they will have a donated this for the purpose of the animal shelter or something like that. Amanda's policy has to be general enough to cover all of the departments and everybody with vehicles, including purchasing and tax office and anybody, building maintenance.
It just seems like, though, I mean, Carly, we've been up here a long time. I don't ever remember not providing a vehicle for a law enforcement agency that needs one. So I don't care if it's donated. We bought it. If it fell from the sky, if they say they need a car, we're going to take it up under advisement and either agree to give them one or not.
It's ours.
Yeah. I think we're making it way more difficult than it needs to be. I think y'all bring back to us what you need. We make a decision and move on.
Okay, with that in mind, because I would agree, let's move on. Are we in a position where we can vote on this policy right now and come back? Since it's a living document, you guys come back with the data and we can include it as we do it. Can we do that?
Yep.
Matter of fact, I'd entertain a motion.
I still don't know whether he's got his answer.
Yeah, I mean, we can move on it. It's a living document. I think she did a great job on the policy. I just, sorry, I muddled down in the black and white of it, and it could be an issue. So.
It's okay. So I second his motion still.
All right, we have a motion and a second to accept the budget policy as it is.
And they'll bring back whatever they
need. They'll bring back. Since it's a living document, any type of amendment that we need to put to it.
And Brett's in charge of that?
Brett's in charge.
September 31st.
Yeah, Brett's in charge. All right, we have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner Gray, for us getting to the bottom of this, and Amanda, for all your hard work.
Was there a vote on the budget calendar?
It's all the same.
It's all the same?
Okay, yep. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you for your hard work on that policy, Amanda.
All right, let's move forward. Information technology.
I move on this for Commissioner Gray. I think it's great.
Yeah, we're very
excited.
We have
a motion. Is there
it.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Bobby.
Lovely. Thank you.
Good job, Bobby.
Treasurer, let's move forward.
Move on that, too.
All right. We have a motion on the treasurer. I have a question on that. Yep. If we may. But do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Here's a question that I have.
Yes, Judge.
You know, with the failing of banks.
Yes, sir.
We have investments. Yay, many dollars.
Yes.
Investments that do not fall under the federal guideline of $250,000. So if we have the money in a bank and it fails, what happens? How are we guaranteed our money isn't lost short of putting it in banks all over the place?
Well, to explain that, so we do have some investments that are insured at the $250,000 FDIC level, and those accounts are spread out over many, many banks are insured. But anything with our depository bank with Woodforest is covered by a letter of credit with the Federal Home Loan Bank. And that's actually a whole lot easier than what we used to do, and this court approved in March of 19 for us to switch to that version of collateral from what we previously did, which was pledge collateral, where the bank would buy securities, specific muni bonds and all sorts of different collateralization up to the amount that we needed at 110% over our balance. We switched to the letter of credit so that we are able to quickly, if Woodforest Bank were to ever have any issues, go to the Federal Home Loan Bank and cash that in to recover our losses. And so it's actually a lot faster because you don't have to actually sell the pledge collateral that you would have.
Do we trust the Federal Home Loan Bank?
Oh, boy.
Well.
I mean, and then you have the Securities Investors Protection Corporation sitting on top of that. That provides, I mean.
Yeah, what you're saying is we're ditch collateral.
Yes, sir. I have no hesitations, reservations. We've talked with our investment committee about this and our investment advisors that we have. We have met with the treasurer of Wood Forest with regards to this, as well as all of their CFO and leadership team. I have no hesitations with what we're doing.
All right, thank you.
Other than putting it in a mattress, Judge.
Not my mattress.
We know how well that works. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
And the donation item, second
yes.
item
yep.
on
yes.
the agenda.
Move.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion? Justice of the Peace, Precinct 3.
Move.
Consider and accept monthly collections. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Michael Howard. Risk Management.
Good morning, Judge. Commissioners, consider and approve changes, additions, and releases on the surety bonds.
Move.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Jason?
Judge, that's in Precinct 3. Move.
I'm sorry?
It's in Precinct 3. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Sheriff?
Move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on this as well, Sheriff. Thank you.
What?
We appreciate your willingness to participate up at the mic. All right, we have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Constable Precinct 5.
Second. I'll second. Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Conroe North Houston Regional Airport. James.
All right, this one is considered to approve the First Amendment to the Land Lease Agreement between Montgomery County and Conservair, Inc. at the Conroe North Houston Regional Airport.
I move on it.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, James.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Tax Assessor Collector, Tammy.
I'm sure we're going to move, so I was just going to sit.
Item A is my monthly collection report for March, and we are right on target. We've collected 96.21% of our total tax dollars to date, and
I'll move on that.
Thank you.
Second.
I have a question. We just heard 97.7.
That's budgeted. That's what we budgeted. This is total collections. We don't budget for 100% of our collections.
Great answer.
Yeah.
You. Have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Item B is just memorializing the action that y'all took on March 28th to increase the over 65 exemption to $50,000 from
$35,000.
Move. Second. We have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Interesting. I got a telephone call from Paul Bentoncourt. They're attempting to raise that to $100,000. State. All right.
Good morning,
yes,
Judge.
Proceed.
Judge Commissioners, item 21 A, B, and C are all statutory required reports.
Move.
Item A is.
I'll second. All.
A, B, and
we have
C.
a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Rakesh, in each of these reports, the first report is basically an over and under report, revenue in and out expenses.
Receipts and expenditures.
And it is according to what we have decided. It's plugged in. If somebody wants to go over it, they can't go over it even if they wanted to. Correct.
We don't want to spend any money until we have any budgets for it.
Okay.
So.
The second report, it's really a balance sheet. And how are we tracking? How do we look for it? We look all right?
We look good.
Any concerns at all?
Nothing to report at this point in time. We're
okay.
under and we're good.
All right.
The third report, Judge and Commissioners, is the...
This is the 800-page report, right?
That's the 800-page report. You know, we're required to furnish that monthly and annually as well. And obviously, it includes the audited ACFR that we did last month as part of the submission of the report. It includes all the other two, but basically, and also anything that's important that's deemed worthy and necessary that we need to present to Commissioner's Court, including all the previous reports we've done, status updates on ERP and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. We had a motion on A, B, C, D, and E. Is there a second?
A, B, and C.
Okay, A, B, and C. Is there, we have a motion. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
Proceed.
You. Item D, consider and approve court interpretive claims for payments. Altogether, we had about 12 invoice claims that we processed for about $4,627.83.
How does that relate to the big picture of where we were and where we are now?
2 courts ago, it was about $16,000, which included about 3 weeks worth of court run. The previous court, we had about $8,000, about $4,600, so the numbers look...
So have the judges turned in all their stuff, or, I mean, there's a reason for it going down? There, Wendy?
Again, yes.
Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So, yes, well, that's all of our vouchers. They're coming in to me daily. We process them through the same day that we receive them. That's nothing outstanding. Other than some vouchers that are several years old that we're still working to resolve.
Okay. So, Rakesh, in your judgment, the program is working? Interpreters? You're an auditor. Come on, man.
I think he just pays the bill.
we pay the bill as they come through, make sure that... You know, with dot eyes and copper.
Well, if, for whatever it's worth, which is yes, worth something, yes, it appears sir. That it is, and it's good management. Thank you,
we
Wendy. We
pay the interpreters appropriately and accurately. So.
All right, we have a motion to accept item 21D.
Move.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
Item E is the regular payment of accounts for all the AP processing that we do. Mm-hmm. We're paying about $7.4 million worth of claims, and which is in the expected ballpark.
All right, we have a motion.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, let's move forward. Purchasing. Gilbert. Oh, Gilbert's not with us.
Oh, Gilbert.
Gilbert, you've changed.
For the better, I hope. Good morning, Commissioners and Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
All right. First item, 22A, consider and approve the renewal of Project 1908 Workers' Compensation Third-Party Administrators with ASNG Administration for Risk Management.
All right. We have a motion.
Can we explain that just a little bit? I mean...
Sure. Absolutely. Probably Michael Howard can come up and explain it a lot better than I can.
Just briefly, just quickly.
It's our TPA account for our property and casualty and our workers' compensation. This is the folks, ASNG, who do all of our claims actual processing.
It's the Boone Chapman for our risk.
They are the Boone Chapman on the PC and the workers' comp side.
So we're renewing.
We're just renewing. Okay. This is the fourth,
the fourth of time. Four renewals.
Yes,
we'll go out for proposal again.
Can we have a motion? Is there a second?
End of this.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Continue on.
All right. The next two items are item B. We're asking to approve a discretionary exemption for Amigos Library Service and for the Houston Area Database Consortium. And then online computer legal research is an item that can only be obtained from one source, West Publishing, DBA, Thomson Reuters, for various departments.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Can you explain that, too?
There you go.
Amigos Library Services, that is something that the library uses as a consortium. From what I believe, they act as a pay-through service for the library for digital, I believe. If the librarian's here, she can help me, but I don't think so. And then the computer legal research is what all the courts use for their legal research.
Courts, attorney's offices,
yes, thank
district
you.
Attorney, judges.
Thank you.
Everything that's West, our online research.
I move.
Thank you.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, right. Next item, C, number one, change order number one to Larry Young Paving for project 19-49, additional rehabilitation of roads to add right-of-way prep and backfill for various precincts.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Next item, number two, change order number three, PO number 41430 to LJA Engineering for engineering service on-call supplemental services.
Move.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Proceed.
Next item, D, consider and approve the contracts for Project 2301, application for Clearinghouse Bank and participating bank with Wood Forest National Bank for the treasurer and Amegy Bank, a division of Zions Bank Corporation, for the tax office. The award was previously approved to Commissioner's Court on 4/11.
Move.
You have a motion.
Second. Uh-huh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. E.
Move.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. F.
F. Can go ahead.
Judge, I have a question on this. So,
sure.
The F, the one we're talking about.
F?
F. Okay. Which one, Ron? F? Animal shelter?
The animal shelter.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, this, I as you know, pretty much everybody up here is taking turns running that darn place, and y'all are doing a fantastic job. Thanks for doing
yeah.
so.
Thank you.
But that place has had, when we were up, when my office was over there, we had 1,000 animals in there. And, you know, you find a way to make it work. I think we all know it's a dilapidated, useless facility for an animal shelter. I just hate to spend $65,000 to get a report that's going to say it's a piece of junk. I think we can all agree to that and stipulate that we need a shelter some point in the future. We need a better plan. But I don't know if spending $65,000 to get a report that's going to tell us what we already know is great.
Well, there's a couple of things. Because what but that's a great question. But first of all, so we get the numbers right. Back when you were in charge of that deal, it was 658 animals.
No, there were days we had 1,000 animals over there. We had 600
anyway,
dogs and 300 cats.
In my research, as I look back, because you brought this up once before, otherwise I would have not made an issue out of it. So it's okay.
So we can.
But
we
you
can
got
dig
a lot
that
of animals
you
that you put through
exactly.
there. And the problem was, at that time, and the problem is now, is that you still have lousy sanitation. The initial report that they paid for, I gave you guys each a copy of this, that PGAL did for us, went through these items with major considerations in animal capacity, program capacity, sizing, configuration of housing units, the enrichment of the animals, no useful traffic flow, inadequate areas for disease isolation. There's significant infrastructure deficiency, including the dog housing units, too many animals housed in each room, building ventilation. It's incorrect. It's not up to code. The continuous trench drains are notoriously difficult to operate. They're difficult to clean. They cross-contaminate. They smell bad. They spread disease. They trap debris. And the list goes on. Now, we know that it's been managed with this, and we're managing it now. But we came up with, back in April 4th of 2019, if you recall, with PGAL, who has done an analysis for us for project understanding of the tax office, the county courthouse, Atrium Building, Keyshan Building, Allworth Building, Sadler Building, Montgomery County Jail. And we neglected to put in here in the animal shelter. Now, here's the deal. If we need to, if we're able to do certain things to be able to make it more adequate, so that it's safer for our employees, it spreads less disease and germs and bacteria, and are able to do something in the immediate, I have to have this additional study from PGAL to know what to present during budget. And without that, I really don't have it. And so what we're asking for is, and it's a cost of $65,000. Remember, the animal shelter paid the first $25,000.
What more could PGAL give us
right here?
What more can they do? What are you looking to get out of PGAL?
Here, Paul.
Paul's here right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. So our initial proposal was in two parts. So we did the report that you have right there is the building condition assessment. So we brought our engineers and architects and specialists in to look at the current operation of the facility and the current situation. And this next phase is the needs assessment. So this will be more detailed and studying exactly what the shelter needs moving forward. And we will come up with some some floor plans and square footage and a budget for you to consider for a new facility.
But that has nothing to do with pointing out how to fix the problems that are already there. I mean, you're talking about the floor plan for a new facility.
Correct.
Yeah, that's we are. That's what we're doing. We're talking about what if we, in a needs assessment, what would it take for us? Because, guys, as everything I can see, as you have mentioned in your report, the county is growing exponentially. The amount of people that are here, the problem is not going away, and it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Judge,
we're fighting very hard to keep this deal going.
Would the study set you up, Judge?
For me?
Would the study set you up to springboard into some kind of CDBG or grant funding for a future location if that was the case? I mean,
well, if
is
we,
this almost like a match?
Public, or a public-private partnership or something like that to be able to move forward on something.
Yeah.
But right now, we're just shooting in the dark. We don't know whether it would cost us $10 million, $30 million, you know.
I'll just throw this in. I mean, we can study multiple options with this second piece. We can look at, you know, can we update the current facility in some way or add on to the current facility? We can look at new or multiple situations.
As we have discussed, it's very difficult. I mean, the office space, the hallway
space.
Did
we ever get the new incinerator taken care of?
Yeah.
I've been down there several times, and I had spoke with them about the property that's adjacent, right beside it. It's almost the same. That it could maybe possibly be bought and something built there and then revitalized. And I don't know if that's possible.
Talked about and tried. I mean, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
My thing is, I know we need a shelter. And you've built shelters. You've designed shelters. It would be just as efficient for you to come in here and say, this is a shelter we built that handles
2,000
or whatever. Right. Right. And it would be a lot cheaper than $65,000 because it doesn't sound like you're going to bring back solutions to the problems with the drainage and the poor ventilation. I mean, the poor ventilation, building maintenance, we put brand new state-of-the-art equipment in there.
When I went in there,
years ago. I know some of the ones are working.
Well, here, but it was, we did some simple things, like we put fan belts on the fans. But the biggest thing was the odor, and we put 16 oxidation, we spent $20,000 on oxidation machines that are going to be coming up to be replaced in the near future, and it still doesn't produce, according to code, enough amount of turn of what it's going to take to get that stuff in and out of there. Plus, the kennels, the lack of lighting, I've got four people down there right now in an office space that is as big as from that corner to this, from that's right there. Four people all working in desks, and it's chaos. But that being said, I can't even go to somebody. I can't even seek a grant. I can't even go to some type of public-private partnership or some of these organizations. I don't have a clue what it would cost or really what it would look like. Is there a way we can...
So this $65,000 we're talking about spending is going to be a solution for him to come back and say, this is what facility we need.
Right.
Not what's going on there. We already know what's going on there at that location.
So this will be a design?
Yes.
You'll tell us the square footage?
Correct. Yep, and we do have a consultant, a specialist, Animal Arts, who we do a lot of work with on the larger facilities across the country. They're a nationwide expert, so they will provide all their expertise along with it, and we'll come back with various options for you and various sizes, looking into the future of what you could need for a facility and consider.
I agree with the judge. You got to have something to show somebody if you're going to go ask for a partnership or go out for a grant or apply for grants.
Yeah, I'll say.
You have a funding source, Amanda?
Counties and cities are not required to provide animal control services. And the fact that we do provide it, we've taken on that debit. So it's kind of like a crazy cousin. They're still your cousin now. Now we got it.
So the focus would be to build a new one, not to look at fixing the old one, because that's my issue with it.
Sure.
The old one can't be fixed. That place needs to be blown up. We need a new shelter at some point. get the animals out first.
But we don't know which direction we're headed until we get that. And we can't even have options until we get that. That's
I move
all.
On F.
If that's the case, then I would
I move.
Move. Or second. I will second.
All right. Do we have a funding plan. Source? Is there a funding? Do we have it in contingency or where?
The animal shelter, we did, the judge and I discussed this, they have about $25,000 that they could contribute to the project. The rest would either need to come from contingency or another funding source.
I'm trying to do it without contributing a total of $50,000 because we've already contributed $25,000 to the first study.
Yeah.
As it's and I mean, is there a way that we, is the $65,000, do we have it in there, or is there some way we can divide it up or figure out a way to do this?
Your contingency budget right now is $231,000.
Okay, we have a motion.
Animal shelter doesn't have any money at all. They could.
I think they have $25,000 they can contribute.
So we need about $45,000.
Well, fine, start with that.
That's good.
We need it.
We need 40.
Need 40,000.
The only reason I'm asking for the full amount is because anytime we do a study, we don't ever ask that department to pay for that study. The only time I remember ever doing that was the court, on their court study. On this particular one, we've already put up 25,000.
I'm not disagreeing.
You know, I'll do the rest.
How about all four of us throw in 10,000?
That's what they want to do, but if they don't, I'll do it.
Move on, Commissioner Riley.
Okay, so
we need,
can we let's
yeah,
can
we need to be clear about the funding
current motion. Let's start over. Can we do that?
Yes.
Say it again.
Do we have a motion?
We're going to make a motion.
I'll second that motion.
The motion needs to have the funding source.
I'm sorry. And the motion is going to be $25,000 from animal shelter and $40,000 from NOACs. Precinct 2.
Well, I'll split it with you. I'll donate $20,000.
So $20,000, $20,000,
$25,000. So
we have a motion in a second. Well, real quick, I agree with y'all, and I'll jump in if that's the road we're going to go down. But I go back to, this isn't a requirement by the county or the city, so I think it should come out of that fund that Amanda's putting forth, if the funds are there in a contingency, instead out of your own personal road bridge.
Like you said, we've been doing this for years. It's our baby. We can't get out of it now.
Yeah.
It's ours.
Yeah.
Can we do a funding source, make it contingency up to $65,000?
Move.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Contingency.
All in favor?
Okay.
Motion carries.
Hey, at least it wasn't my budget.
Thank you. Gentlemen, appreciate it. All right, let's move on.
All right, next. Item G.
Item G.
Hey, Judge, real quick, I'm up to 757 animals on 1013 of 16. I'm going to get you the 1,000, though.
Yeah, okay. You were rocking. You were only there for 6 weeks, though, man.
6 months.
That's all right. Go ahead.
All right, item G. Consider and approve the award for Project 23-15 for pavement striping for various departments to Texas Lone Star Pavement.
Move. And y'all did a great job on that. It's not your fault if a vendor fails to reply to
Thank
an
you.
Email that you sent them, regardless of how long that they've been working for us. I don't think that should have been addressed like it was. And so
it doesn't eliminate him from the future.
No.
Thank you.
Not yet.
We appreciate that.
But y'all did a great job on it.
We appreciate
it.
That.
You.
All right. We have a motion?
I'll second.
Yes. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Last right. item, approve advertising for the Lone Star Parkway at Buffalo Springs intersection.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor? Opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Environmental health.
Morning, gentlemen. I'd like to consider and approve the order to release a lien to acknowledge a receipt of check payment for the lien associated to the demolition.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Rebecca?
Good morning, Judge Commissioner.
Morning.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Is this A, B, C, D, and E?
It's A, B. I move A, B. On A and B.
Me too.
Rebecca? You have a motion, a second. Thank you. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I ask a question to Rebecca about what Commissioner Gray said about, is there any money, grant money available for this, for our animal shelter?
Yes, sir. So for CDBG, there is not. Those funds go to local.
Speak into the microphone real loud. Jason, is it on?
Sorry, it's on.
There you go.
The green light. So for CDBG, it cannot be used for that because that goes to low-income persons. But there are grants for animal shelters out there. Yes, sir.
Couldn't you say that a lot of low-income people maybe turn their dogs in?
Yes, maybe.
Mr.
All right. Is there any more discussion? Thank you. Appreciate
yes, sir.
It, Rebecca.
Thank you
very much. All right. Let's move forward. County attorney.
Approve an order authorizing notice of a public hearing under Local Government Code 232.009C1 for a partial replat. This is going to set the public hearing at 9:30 on June the 13th of 2023. Do I need to read the rest?
We have a motion.
I make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item precinct 2.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 3.
Move.
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And these have been turned over to the county attorney's office so they can manage this process going forward since North Star is
and
a
we,
county
yes.
operation now.
Yeah, and we have really what we wanted to do is make this public and searchable, so we've given them to the county clerk, and that's why you're accepting them today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Precinct
right.
4.
Precinct 4.
I'll second.
On D 1 through 8.
On 1 through 8, we've all looked at the backup on precinct 4, 1 through 8. We know what it is.
Yep.
Can we accept a motion to accept all at once?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, is there a second?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All precincts. E.
Approve a resolution order accepting memorialization of registration of one trademark for the airport.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time, we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioners Court to convene public hearings.
Consider and approve changing the street name of Dan Circle to Dan Drive, located in Glenmont Estate, Section 2, to be consistent with 911 addressing, MCAT, and USPS. Is anybody here to speak about that?
All right, if there's no one to speak, let's reconvene court, take immediate action. Do I have a motion to approve 26A1?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. County Engineer, Precinct 1. These are plats.
Do we have it? Yes.
Okay.
Can we do...
And 4 all in one motion?
Can we do... Yes.
I mean,
27 A, B, C, and D all in one?
Move.
A second.
All right. These are all plats. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Right,
please
E.
consider the and approve the request from Park Construction to move heavy equipment across various county roads. The permit will expire on July 22nd.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
You're opposed?
Yeah,
okay, we have one opposition. 4 approved. All right, 28A1. Commissioners, Precinct 1. Commissioner Walker.
Okay, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding opening positions for the anticipated tax office annex in Willis. Increase full-time equivalency spots in the following positions and their correlated position budgets. There's four positions we're opening up there, and this is going to be a huge thing for the north part of the county to have a tax office up there. The funding options, you know, on the build-out and on the lease payments, you know, Tammy's got money to do the build-out, and I'm going to pay for the employees until budget comes around, and then we'll talk.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then the second part of that, too, is consider take appropriate action on the lease of the property.
I move.
How's that funded?
I'm paying for that.
Move.
Second.
I already had a motion. Who wants to second? You want to second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Just to confirm, I'm sorry, real quick. The build-out is going to be paid out of the tax office CIP. Just want to note that for the record.
Yes.
The money that we're transferring out of Commissioner Walker's budget for the salary and positions is $114,482.03.
All right, thank you. All right, consider and accept payroll change request forms.
Jody, can you read those one by one, all 90 of them? Start with one.
No.
Well, I move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead. Right now, we're going to go to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you, and we shall return.
Can I vote for them?
Thank you, everybody. We are back from executive session. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Nowak has had to leave. And is not with us, but there is no action to be taken for executive session. We have a motion to adjourn. Forgive me. Thanks for not making that motion. This time, our citizens. Yes.
Thank you. It works.
Michelle Knuckles,
yes. Gergensville. I wanted to thank you all, Judge Keough, our commissioners, and our generous donors, County Attorney Beatty Griffin, District Attorney Brett Ligon, and Judge Keough, for helping achieve this dream of placing Brave Books in the libraries. Thank you, Commissioner Gray, for your support.
Yes, ma'am.
And I also would like to thank our Library Director, Rhea Young, for her being very courteous and kind as we work through this. And placing the books as well. My friend and I would like to invite each of you to our next story hour on May 25th at 10 a.m. at the South Branch Library as our honored guests with your families, children, and grandchildren. We know that you are all extremely busy and the work that you do is important. But if you are able to break away, we would be delighted to have you. A local author is going to read. And we'll have coloring, a game, and possibly some music. Kids love dance parties. And we are going to celebrate what the Lord has done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that comment so much.
You said 10, right?
Yes, 10 a.m. Yes,
ma'am. All right. Are there any other citizens who'd like to share with us today or make a comment? If there are none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Appreciate y'all being here today.